It's a joy and a privilege to be leading worship on this special Sunday, the day of Pentecost. A day when we celebrate the refreshing, enlivening power of the Holy Spirit and what's considered by many to be the official birthday of the Church. Happy birthday to us. But before we get this party started, let's just pause and acknowledge where we are and how we're doing. Take a breath and feel the weight of the year we've had. Take a moment to think about the people around us, the sheer volume of grief, exhaustion, and loss. Both of the Bible readings we've heard this morning begin in the aftermath of deep collective trauma. Ezekiel's vision is set in the valley of death. The scene before him is like a mass open grave, a jumble of dry bones decaying into dust. A horrific scene, and we hear that the Spirit places him in the middle of it and leads him all around it. Ezekiel's first task in this story is to be a witness to suffering and death on a huge scale. That scene that Ezekiel encounters always brings back memories for me of a genocide site I visited in Rwanda when I was just 18. Right after finishing my A-levels, I joined a team of other young people to spend the summer in Rwanda, volunteering and visiting churches and youth groups. Rwanda is a beautiful country, rolling hills and red soil and lush green forests. During our time there, that we were taken by our Rwandan hosts to visit a school building that local people had fled to and tried to hide in during the 1994 genocide, and where hundreds had been massacred. These school buildings had been left as an eerie memorial, the classrooms still filled with dead bodies, lying and decaying on wooden pallets. 7 years on, they were almost just skeletons, grey and dusty, in tatters of rotted clothing, anonymous, abandoned. Many of the bodies had their skulls smashed by machete blows. Many were the bodies of children. The last thing I wanted to do was look at them, to be led around this dreadful place. It was oppressively still and quiet. There seemed to be no colour, no air, no dignity or peace, and no hope there. The book of Ezekiel is a really dark and difficult book, and it's the product of a dark and difficult time. Years of exile, war, disease, and famine. The temple had been destroyed. The people of Israel had been scattered and many of them killed, including Ezekiel's own wife. When God asks, "Can these bones live?" and Ezekiel says, "God only knows," you can hear the weariness in the prophet's reply, as if he's beyond hoping and almost beyond caring. In the Pentecost story of Acts 2, the disciples are living in a strange sort of in-between time. They've lived through a great trauma together too, a double bereavement, Jesus's violent and degrading death, and then his ascension into heaven when Jesus leaves them all over again. I can imagine their bewilderment, their grief, their uncertainty about what to do next. They've just appointed a new member of the 12 to fill the vacancy left by Judas. They're trying to get back to business as usual, to gather for worship and prayer, to piece their communal life back together. I don't know about you, but I hear echoes of our situation, trying to get back to normal, trying to make sense of all that's happened, grateful and or hopeful for opportunities to be all together in one place, a bit unsure of what to do next, of how to reconcile the differences between us, of how to live in the aftermath and in the reality of so much loss, of how to move forwards without leaving anyone behind. And maybe some of us are feeling weary or broken or overwhelmed or spiritually dry. If we are, then it's very hard to be creative, to dream dreams, to celebrate, to hope. Take heart, dear ones, because it's into situations like these that the spirit comes. Both of our readings today begin in places that are bleak and barren, places of real loss and huge suffering. And both describe the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in those places with vivid and beautiful language, language of life and flesh and blood and breath, of wind and fire and noise and colour. What the world needs now is precisely what the church has to offer, the life-giving Word of God, the surprising spirit that forges unlikely community, breaking through social barriers and working in and through our differences. In the Acts account of Pentecost, the Spirit drives the worshippers out into the streets. The love of God spills over. Passers-by from different places and cultures are astonished to hear from the mouths of these Galileans words that speak meaningfully to them. I believe that the church has language that can speak meaningfully to people's hearts in our situation. In grief and in the aftermath of collective trauma, there is an important place for ritual and collective remembering. The church has language for that. And these are resources that we can offer our communities to help people in the weeks and months ahead. The church has language that holds loss and bears faithful witness to suffering. And the church has language of hope that's not superficial, but hard won. Hope that's not death denying, but life affirming. And please don't let's long to get back to normal. The arrival of the Holy Spirit is the beginning of God living and moving among God's people in a new way. Lately, I keep thinking about that wonderful promise in Isaiah. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Earlier this week, I attended our Synod's Minister's Spring School, and someone there made a remark that has really stuck with me. He said, imagine a big old tree that's been cut down. Where it was sawn off, new green shoots are growing up. Don't go trying to pick the dead tree up and stick it back onto the stump. It seems to fit with a much shared quotation for our times by the poet Sonia Renee Taylor. She says this, "We will not go back to normal. Normal never was. Our pre-corona existence was not normal, other than that we normalized greed, inequality, exhaustion, depletion, extraction. We should not long to return, my friends. We are being given the opportunity to stitch a new garment, one that fits all of humanity and nature. We should not long to return, my friends. We are being given the opportunity to stitch a new garment. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. May this be so. Amen.